we're trying to predict the unpredictable. You know, I mean, we're assuming you'll see zones, you know, because the other team's dealing with it too. You know, we're not the only one dealing with it. So working on that a little bit, working on, you know, playing maybe a little bit differently so that we can simplify this. Because again, like you play the game, people are going to expect you to win. Nobody cares who's eligible for practice. They're going to expect you to win.
Yeah. Richard Pitino talking about the awkward start of the college basketball season here. And, the Gopher football team had their game against Wisconsin canceled for this week. So we'll dive into some of that. Also, it's a Write That Down Wednesday here on Mackie and Judd, where we make predictions and hold each other accountable. So we'll do that. A quick shout out to Federated Mutual Insurance Company. Federated, during this pandemic period, has donated 18,000 N95 respirator masks to Owatonna Hospital and several outdoor blue lights for the Owatonna Clinic building as well. So those Federated Insurance employees, in addition to just giving you business owners peace of mind, they're also donating their time, talent, and financial resources to helping our communities. Find out more about the great work that Federated does across the board at federatedinsurance.com. And remember, at Federated, it's always our business to protect yours.
TCL is a proud sponsor of the Score North Studios. Enjoy more of the things you love with TCL. These two guys have Minnesota sports flowing in their veins. Mackie and Judd on Score North and ScoreNorth.com.
Welcome in to the show. This would ordinarily be one of the great drinking days in America, boys.
Oh, yeah.
But it's not this year. Big Wednesday
yes.
before? Okay.
Humongous.
I feel like I founded it because I started in the early 90s. When it was, I think it was popular, but not like it became, because I saw a Star Tribune piece last week said that Drinksgiving was coined in 2007. Well, I was getting hammered 17 years before that. So because it became quite clear when I turned 21 or neared it, right? It became very, very clear. New Year's Eve was just a gong show. Like, it was awful. Like, it was just terrible. Nobody knew what they were doing. Everybody was so bleeping drunk.
It's unnecessarily expensive.
Yeah, it's just, yep. It was just a gong.
The logistics are tough.
And I'm sure there was a time, a long, long time ago, where it was fun. But by the time I came of age, it was done. So, to me, the greatest drinking night of my lifetime, which is now, by the way, also jumped the shark big time, was today.
Yeah.
And tonight. It was great. Your friends all came back. And the gong show aspect didn't start till sometime in the 2000s, because I feel like it gained popularity then after that.
Yeah, I mean, it's always been a big one for me and my high school friends. I am kind of like looking forward to not having to do it for the first year, just because I went to a pretty big high school. So there were 600 kids in my class. But we usually go to Grand Avenue. So I went to Central, which isn't too far down the road from here. And we typically go to Billy's on Grand. That's been our normal spot the night before Thanksgiving. We don't ever go there any other time of the year. It's just for the one day of
the
year.
And this is with your high school friends, you said?
Yeah, high school friends.
Because that's the other component to Drinksgiving, is that it's usually you go back to your hometown or whatever.
Right.
You see people that you haven't seen
in
a while.
And the last year, too, it's been jumped. The Creighton-Durham Hall kids and the Highland kids have kind of jumped the shark, and the Central kids have just been more dwindled away. And every year, I always end up having this, like, insane deep talk with some, like, not stranger, but someone I haven't seen since like high school graduation.
Yeah, that's a bad
idea. I'm kind of glad that trend is ending, to be completely honest.
Yeah. So it just evolves into a deep conversation about your past,
about my past or about my life or whatnot.
Why you bullied them 10 years ago?
Vice versa. The key is, dude.
The key is shed the friends, keep drinking elsewhere.
Yeah.
That's what I did. Like, I used to go see high school friends from Benilde and stuff, but after a while, I'm just like, I don't want to see these people
like
anymore.
There's like 10 people. I got flack for this on Twitter, too, from some of my friends. I tweeted it last night. There's like 10 people I want to see from my high school.
10?
Which I even think is a pretty high amount.
It's a lot.
Dude, it is a lot.
I'll admit, so I graduated with 425 people at Buffalo High School. I love all my high school friends. I don't really hang out with them or anything anymore. And sometimes I feel guilty because it's like, we didn't have like falling outs or anything. It's just been 20 years almost.
Yeah.
You have nothing in common now.
There's three or four that I genuinely consider very good friends. And then the other seven, they're like friends and I'm cool seeing them. And then everyone else falls off a cliff. And like, I could go the rest of my life without seeing you.
Oh. You don't need to now.
That's kind of how I look
at it. No, you're, you're at the age now where I would start to be like, you know what? It's been fun, but bye. See you later.
Can you fire up some NFL Films music for me real quick here?
Yeah, absolutely.
Because I have for you guys, as we dive into this discussion, I've got my best drinking holidays pecking order for you.
Oh, let's hear it.
All right.
Let's hear it.
And again, I'm sticking to holidays here. And if I'm missing one, let me know, because I'm just throwing this together off the top of my head.
Okay.
So I'm not counting like bachelor party or wedding, none of that stuff. Like these are landmark benchmark days on the calendar. Okay.
Yeah.
We'll start at the bottom. St. Patrick's Day is 6 on my list. I'm ranking 6.
Okay.
St. Patrick's Day, as a guy who bleeds green. I am an Irish. I'm 60% Irish, 40% Norwegian. My last name is Irish. My father is very Irish.
And you're not Declan, but yeah, you're Irish.
Yeah.
You're Irish.
I'm not. I don't need to go out to like a jam-packed.
Yeah.
You can't like breathe without, you know, coming into contact with someone's beard.
It's a complete gong show. It's awful.
It's like tents outside and like there's one keg and it's just ridiculous.
Yep.
So I'm out on St. Patrick's Day. Plus the weather is usually crappy. It's the middle of March. It's just like the worst weather ever. And I'm out.
Hear ya.
Number 5, New Year's Eve. Again, it's more expensive than it normally would be. Like, the dinners are more expensive. Yeah. The drinks are more expensive.
5 and you want to go somewhere. Get rid of them.
Not to mention, it's just a pain in the ass to get around. You don't want to get caught drunk driving. And the other thing I would say is, by the time I'm already done with, like, the Christmas, Thanksgiving, Christmas, I've been drinking for, like, a month and a half straight
and you're
at
fat.
That point.
You're fat by then. Your pants aren't comfortable.
You've already sort of looked ahead toward the next year and getting a head start. For me, anyways, I'm just thinking, all right, how can I clean my life up for the next year? And I just feel guilty getting sloshed on New Year's Eve.
Okay.
It's just a me thing. Right?
Okay.
Number 4, the 4th of July. Now we're getting into some more prime drinking territory here.
It's nice out.
4th of July is nice. A little reprieve. If it lands on like a Thursday or a Friday or a Tuesday or something, you get that 4-day weekend sometimes.
I do hate fireworks, but yes, the drinking is fun.
Yep. And so, you know, outdoor weather, you can drink a light beer. You can drink a Corona Hard Seltzer, sparkling water.
Or Declan can drink 6.
Pure beach vibes. Mm-hmm. It's great, all right? Now we get into the ones that can... Now, you might disagree with this one. I've got Drinksgiving number 3 on my list. But I'm not talking about, like, going back to your hometown to some towny bar. Or in this year's case, just, like, drinking at home. I like the fact that you have a 4-day weekend on the horizon. And you can just, like, get as drunk as you need to on a Wednesday. And you can roll out of bed on a Thursday, eat a bunch of great food, and then 3 full days to recover after Thursday.
It's a good way to look at it.
I like that it's like it gives you all weekend to sort of recover from how drunk you got on
it
Wednesday.
It used to be a clear-cut number 1.
Yeah.
Like, it was the clear-cut. Yeah. Like, 20 years ago, if that was 3rd, you're crazy.
God willing, this will be the first Thanksgiving tomorrow. I will not be hungover in about 9 years.
Well, you can still drink tonight.
Oh, I can still drink tonight. I'm just saying I typically get pretty bombed on this evening, and I don't think.
Are you alone tonight or are you with family tonight?
I'm alone tonight. That I know.
So you'd have to get sloshed alone.
Ooh. Yeah.
You know what? Underrated.
Ladies, Declan doesn't have to be alone tonight.
No, he does. No.
612.
It's COVID, man. No.
That I
and
know.
By the way, drinking and watching TV is by yourself. An underrated pleasure.
I've been doing that a lot during, especially the last
You know
6 weeks.
What? And no one's passing judgment.
I had 3 seltzers and watched 3 episodes of The Crown last night on Netflix.
Okay, now we got problems.
Oh, my God. No, it's a
great
show.
What about Gopher Hockey? You weren't watching Gopher Hockey?
Yeah, they're 4-0, Phil.
Ohio State Buckeyes? Sweep them?
Let me know when they get to the NCAA tournament.
Okay.
All right.
We'll do.
If they get that far with COVID.
I'm still scarred from going to every Gopher Hockey game for 4 years at the U of M. The year after they won back-to-back national championships. And I went to school thinking, this is great. Go for hockey. Jump on the bandwagon. They're going to win like 3 national titles, and they haven't won one since. And so I'm still a little sour on go for hockey.
A little better.
All right. Number 2, Memorial Day weekend. All right?
Oh, interesting.
Memorial Day weekend, it's part of what it signifies. It signifies the beginning of summer. It signifies usually the beginning of pretty good weather. Baseball season. I love Memorial Day weekend because you can go watch a day game at Target Field during non-COVID years. You can slow sip on a Friday, Saturday, Sunday into a Monday. It's what it signifies.
The Monday being off is huge too. I love Mondays.
And the number 1 drinking day, or I'm going to say
What are you coming up with?
Christmas Eve and Christmas Day.
Okay.
Because ordinarily you don't have. I mean, in our industry, we do have.
So
like,
while the baby Jesus is being born, you're getting sloshed,
dude. I mean, here's why I rank it number 1. With a lot of these other ones, you don't necessarily, like, there's some travel involved. Like, you might have to, New Year's Eve, you might be out and about. Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, you know exactly where you're going to be. You're going to be at home. You're going to be wearing pajamas all day. There's going to be snacks all over the place. And you can drink any number of things. You can drink spiked eggnog. You can drink beer. You can drink wine.
You can do that tonight if you want it.
I'm just saying, like, I love the feeling of, all right, not going anywhere for a couple days here. I'm just going to sit back and just have, like, a 48-hour buzz.
Can I tell you why tonight is still, for me personally, at home, a great night to drink? Because here's what I like, and it's the exact opposite of what you're talking about, Phil, but by the time that you get to New Year's Eve. What I love about tonight is the fact that it's the beginning of the holiday season. You don't feel as filled with alcohol and food yet. So it's sort of like a precursor to it all. And tonight opens potentially the floodgates. That I like. That I like, because by the time I get to Christmas Eve or Christmas Day, it's been December and I'm sort of slogged down.
Yeah.
I love that tonight just starts it all off. It's like the kickoff.
Do you guys feel any
anticipation?
Declan might be different because, like, Declan can eat anything he wants and like can't put on weight.
Correct.
Judd and I eat a sandwich and gain 5 pounds.
Yep.
So
we'll look at one.
Don't have that issue.
So are you, like, do you guys feel from Drinksgiving all the way through New Year's Eve, do you feel guilty about what you consume?
Never.
Because I should, but I don't.
And I don't think anyone should.
Change my life in December or in
January.
Here's
my problem. My problem is this. This year's been so bleeped up that I don't see how it can be different. Like, I could look at myself, and because I've seen, like people that quarantined and went on big diets and lost weight.
Yeah,
that's not happening.
It definitely can be different.
It's like, not a lot happening. Of people, no, but it's not happening for me.
I follow a guy on Facebook, and I just, by the way, if you want to be Facebook friends, like, I just click accept and everything. Judd's been locked out of his account for 9 years.
Yeah, and I would, and I've
had some listeners. I'm sorry, I don't do Facebook with them.
I'm never going back to Facebook.
Twitter
ever.
And Instagram, bring it on, but no Facebook.
Facebook's more of a private thing for you.
I'm Team Declan here.
There's a guy, I think, I don't even know if I know him personally, but he's, like, been documenting his journey since COVID hit. He's lost like 120 pounds.
That's what I'm saying.
And I'm over here just, like, eating Pringles.
But how is this working for him?
What do you mean, how is it working for him?
Well, like, what's he doing? I can't get to, my health club keeps shutting down on me. What am I supposed to do?
Don't drink 9 beers every day. Yeah, and it's all lifestyle changes.
Right, but how on earth can I change my lifestyle during a pandemic? I mean, I'm being challenged to give up, so I'm just giving up. Like, the Lord has looked at me and said, here is your ticket to give up.
Actually,
I say, Lord, I'm giving up.
You know what we should do on this show? We should connect Judd with, like, a life coach.
Oh, God, I love that.
And we should record the conversations once or twice a week for the Mackie and Judd podcast. Judd with a life coach or a fitness coach.
I'd be happy to do it.
Phil and I talk about this
life coach
time,
would be great.
But if Judd and Karamo from Queer Eye ever got together, I would pay hundreds of dollars.
And you would have to pay.
I'm not
the
exaggerating.
The price tag, Declan, would be very high from Karamo.
I would pay hundreds of dollars for Karamo to pick apart the demons in your brain.
Or do we connect Judd with Jonathan Van Ness?
Oh, my. I don't know. I don't know.
Judd, Google Jonathan Van Ness.
Jonathan Van Ness. Because, I mean, I would do.
I don't know which
one
I'd rather
do. I talked to a life coach.
I think the JVN. I'd
be happy to talk to a life coach.
Well, they're two different things. The JVN would be more comical.
Jonathan Van Ness?
Yeah. The JVN part would be more comical. But Karamo would be more, like, deep and, like, could really get into the weeds of and unpeel the layers that is Judd Zolgad.
JVN.
So JVN's the guy that sort of gets
you. I'm looking at him.
JVN is the makeover guy.
Okay.
And Karamo is the have a 5-minute conversation with you and get to, like, the core of all your inner child problems guy. Just makes everyone cry on that show.
So it's Karam what?
Karamo.
K-A-R-A-M-O. Yep. Karamo. He used to be on The Real World in, like, the early 2000s on MTV.
Yep.
Oh, Karamo Brown. Okay.
Yeah, you probably seen him.
Which one was? Oh, Philadelphia.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's the last one I think I watched. I got tired of that show.
There was also a guy in Philadelphia,
really soured
big,
that show.
Tall, blonde guy who played in the NFL for a minute, too.
Yeah, that's right.
I remember the guy's name.
That's right.
Yeah.
So anyway,
wow.
Good list. Good list. I think tonight, I like still as a drinking night, but I don't go out. So I've soured on the whole bar scene thing.
Yeah.
If I could, I wouldn't go out tonight anymore.
Yeah.
And plus, you're right now. I mean, the cops are everywhere. It's not worth it.
It's the most likely day to get a DUI. It's more than Thanksgiving, or it's more than St. Patrick's Day. It's more than New Year's Eve. Black Wednesday is is statistically the most likely day you'd get a DUI.
Blackout Wednesday?
Yep.
That feels Wednesday. Completely unnecessary in 2020 to be getting DUIs. You know, I just like,
well, if you drive tonight,
drink
you're an idiot.
In.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's absolutely correct. Hey, I got a question for you boys. Mm-hmm. Because this show used to be the Mackie and Judd Royce Turkey Special.
That's right.
Is he doing this?
No. Well, no, right?
He might be doing something, but it's not this. But anyway, here's my question. If we were doing the show, who the hell is Turkey of the Year for 2020 besides the year itself?
Man. I mean, COVID is
right. The
ultimate turkey.
But like, who would be the human candidates for Turkey of the Year?
Do Spielman and Zimmer, are they handcuffed as a candidate?
No.
I don't think they because they kind of fought back a little bit now and they've gone through injury issues.
I mean, PJ's at the table because he's always going to be at the table.
Yep.
It could be, well, let's go through some of the teams here. So is there anyone that stands
out
in the Vikings?
Oh, you know who's a candidate? You know who's a dark horse candidate in Patrick's world or would be?
I got it.
Rocco. Yeah. Rocco would be a dark horse. Those playoff moves were absolutely atrocious.
Yep.
I love that one.
That would definitely be a candidate to win.
He might go Falvey, Levine. Well, he might go Rocco and Kevin Cash.
Oh yeah,
and then like Falvey, Levine, and then whoever's currently running the Rays.
I like it
because managers are mostly just puppets for front offices, right?
Right. Yeah.
So I really like that one.
Good one.
What about? Let's just go through team by team here. Anyone on the Vikings? They've had a down year, and they did lose a playoff game last.
I can just see Zimmer for a little bit of he thought the defense would be good. The Danielle Hunter situation with the whole tweak, the way he handled that. I don't think he's a slam dunk for sure, but I think he's I think he's at the table.
So, so let's go Vikings. I think Kirk can always be at the table. He's not winning it, but I think he'd be at the table.
Throwing all those picks.
Yep. Bad start was...
Kirk also, in the biggest Vikings win of the calendar year, had the biggest play. Adam Thielen. Mm-hmm. Saints, right?
Yep. So I don't think he wins it, but I think he might get at the table.
To me, there's no other Vikings that really, like...
No players, right? No players at
what
all.
What about the Timberwolves?
Gerson?
For culture. You know what he might do? It might be the culture club table.
Yeah. I love it.
The culture club table.
But you're right. I think all the Gerson stuff drives him crazy. So I think that's a good one.
So at the culture club table, he'd have Gerson and Ryan, and he'd probably put Ethan Kasson because he always brings up Ethan Kasson for being like, you know, corporate culture guy.
He does.
And then he would put PJ Fleck. He'd probably put Baldelli and the Twins in there, too.
Yeah.
And he might actually praise the Wild for having not gone down the culture path yet. At least
Billy Guerin won't be doing that, I don't think. I don't think Bill will ever mention the term culture, will he?
Anyone from the Wild?
I don't think so, Judd. I really don't. I don't think there's anyone that's turkey-worthy.
No, because Pat wouldn't care enough about hockey to, like, pick on Suter or something like that. So yeah. I don't think so. I don't think so. Go for basketball? I mean, he always picked on Patino, but then PJ sort of passed Richard as
I just don't think the Gopher basketball team is so off the radar
now. Yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah.
Now, knowing Pat, because he goes outside local sports with at least the names that he throws out, I don't think we've had very many non-local turkeys since, like, the 80s. But he would consider putting like various politicians, the Trump family, because he's a Democrat.
You know who would definitely be close? Rob Manfred. He hates Rob Manfred. And he's not wrong.
Manfred could be on there.
Yep.
Because he's, I think in Pat's mind, he is actively ruining baseball. And he might be at the head of the list of people actively ruining baseball.
Also, one of the rare instances where Pat goes with the majority opinion on something. Because most people think Rob Manfred's a clown.
Right. And
ordinarily, Pat would find the silver lining. Like when everyone was out on Tibbs, Pat became Tibbs guy, right? Yep. So that shows you how bad Rob Manfred is if you've got Royce going with the mob in this case. That's a pretty good list here. So Rocco
Baldelli.
Do you
know what else might make it? Not a person, but a thing? Because I could see Pat. It worked, but I could see Pat hating the idea. Bubbles. Sports bubbles.
Oh.
Okay.
Like this whole thing of we'll put you in a bubble to complete the playoffs. I could see him picking on bubbles.
Because he would look and he would point at the NFL and Major League Baseball and say, we've played, you know,
got a little hairy, but we played all the games. We didn't need a bubble.
And bubbles are sort of precious, right? Like, oh, it's safe in the bubble. Oh, Pat hates that stuff.
By the way.
He hates the preciousness of, well, we found a special place. It's called a bubble.
Didn't need the bubble.
Yep.
It's ridiculous. Pretty good list here, boys.
I think the Twins. I think he might pick the Twins.
Pretty good list. Yeah, Rocco Baldelli.
It's 18 consecutive playoff defeats. Is that right now?
Yes, 0-18.
Okay, that by itself deserves recognition.
He could also put, I would think, because the offense is part of the reason here, he could put a Miguel Sano in this conversation. Yeah. He could put like a Max Kepler. I don't think he would single out any of these guys because they were all atrocious. So it's possible that he would just put the entire Twins offense.
I just keep going back to the fact that Rocco took out two starting pitchers who were pitching really well in absolutely key games.
Yeah.
And he hooked them both and it didn't work.
But again, like the thing with Pat though is he's when you've nailed the obvious thing, he's a step over here.
Yeah, yep. That's true.
So it's always like one step.
So it could be ruining baseball. So it could be this is what's ruining baseball.
Yeah.
Kevin Cash. Salvi, Levine.
If you wanted to go national, it could be this is what's ruining baseball. But if you wanted to go local, the obvious one, like you said, is Rocco Baldelli pulling his two best starting pitchers and then relievers gave up runs. But
right.
But the pivot to the right is, yeah, but the offense only scored, whatever,
yeah,
two
right.
runs in the series.
That's a good point.
And so the offense is the turkey in this case. And it could just be like he could give the Turkey of the Year award to like two decades of Twins postseason incompetence.
Yes. I think you hit it. 18 consecutive defeats. I mean, think about that for a second. It's impossible to do.
Yes.
And it's baseball. It's more impossible. You know what? I think you just nailed it. I think that would win it.
Two decades of Twins. Postseason incompetence.
Yes.
Because he gave it to 25 years of Wolves basketball at one point.
And didn't he give it to like 50 years of Golden Gopher football or something at one point?
Yeah. Yeah, or 30 years or something.
You just got it. Okay. That's what it would be.
Can we run this by him when we have him on today, or is he? I don't want to spoil anything.
I think I don't think he's doing.
He hates when we try to guess it with him because then he feels like he can't.
No, well, let's just tell him. Let's just say that we know that he's not doing the turkey, but
we are.
Here's what we think you might have done.
Because
he'll say yes or no.
We've
right?
purchased the intellectual property now. We own it.
Yeah.
So
this was one of my favorite shows, though. I loved always trying to guess. And you're right. He'd come on and sort of be like hem and haw. Hey, I don't know. Like, Pat, come on.
It's been written for a month.
Yeah.
So, all right. Well, so we'll get him on. We'll wrap with Royce. Also, I've had a few people reach out on Twitter and a couple emailers asking a couple questions. One being, are you guys ever going to do songs by the U-Log again? And I think the answer is we won't this year, but now that Declan has learned how to play guitar, can you sing a little bit?
I can sing a little bit.
Okay, because Dave Harrigan was always like, not that Dave and I had great voices, but like of the three of us, Dave and I had the best chance to hit a note. And we needed Judd for the background vocals.
Yes.
Which is saying,
I can sing lead.
I think I can sing lead.
So I think maybe you and I can work on it for 2021.
A little Paul John,
But I've also had a couple people ask, like, what did you guys do with all those old songs? And so I've actually sent the songs to some people. So if you're interested, I might be able to send you some of the songs.
I think we should play them again, too.
Yes.
Next month. Let's start to break them out.
Next month? I mean.
You want to play them today?
We've been rocking Christmas music in our apartment for 2 weeks already.
Oh,
we've
boy.
Got three trees up.
Three?
What?
Two and a half. One's a shorter one.
Why?
Oh, yeah.
What are you doing?
We're in the Christmas spirit, man.
Okay.
Just call me Ross Brendel.
I am.
As soon as November 1st hits, we're ready to rock and roll.
I hope to God you're wearing your shirt.
I'm a very strict like December 1st guy, but because of the pandemic and because of the lockdowns, I understand it, but I typically do not entertain the whole once Black Friday happens, it's in Christmas spirit. No, it has to be December 1st.
But I think we can make a rule that now that we're here and it's Drinksgiving, it's Thanksgiving week, we can start mixing in some of the old songs by the U-Log here. Some of the old classics that people might appreciate.
Boys, we got a new football coach in town.
I'm sure excited about this one.
Yeah, defense should be good.
Yeah, clock management might be a little bit of a problem, but we can work on that.
No need to sweat the details.
I tell you what, I believe in him.
Tracy Clays, he's going to be a good one. You better watch out. We got a new guy. Runs motion at the goal line and bleeds the clock dry. Tracy Clays is coming to town. Tracy Clays is coming to town. Tracy Clays is coming to town.
Woo!
He used to assist His defense was grand. He's got a girl's name now. Tracy's the man. Tracy Claes is coming to town. Tracy Claes is coming to town. Tracy Claes is coming to town.
Oh, yeah.
A close game against Michigan. Covered at Ohio State. He almost upset Iowa. Moral victory, sure are great.
Moral victories sure are great.
Woo! You better watch out. We got a new guy. Runs motion at the goal line and bleeds the clock dry. Tracy Claes is coming to town.
Hey, hey.
Tracy Claes is coming to town. Tracy Claes is coming to town.
Most sports talking heads make predictions, then hope you forget about how wrong they were. But not Mackie and Judd with Rami. This is the Big Leagues, where we own our terrible predictions.
Write this down.
And keep track of each other's batting averages.
Write it down. You like writing things down.
It's Write That Down with Mackie, Judd, and Rami.
Write that down.
Write it down. You like writing things down. Write this down.
And welcome in to the only show in America that actually keeps track of each other's predictions, holds each other accountable with batting averages and home runs. Everyone else is too afraid to look stupid, too afraid that their credibility will be shot. But when you're already stupid and have no credibility,
bingo,
it doesn't matter. Welcome to the Mackie and Judd Show. So here is how it works. We're going to get our guy, Sam. Listener, Sam is going to join for some predictions today. Here's how Write That Down works every single Wednesday. Three predictions from everybody each week. They must be quantifiable. We keep track of batting averages and home runs. And if you want to participate, we actually still have a couple openings in December. Otherwise, we're going to start looking out into January. You can DM me at Phil Mackey on Twitter if you want to participate. Even if I don't follow you, my DMs are open. So just at Phil Mackey on Twitter. You guys ready for a little accountability session?
Write it down. You like writing things down.
That all depends.
Well,
yeah, it was a so-so weekend.
You should be pretty happy.
Oh, God bless it.
Oh, yeah!
Judd came in as the batting average leader and tied for the home run lead. Declan and Rami both chasing Judd for the batting title, but it's going to be tough now that Judd puts up a two-for-two performance. Gopher football will have a game canceled before the 2020 season is complete.
Yeah! Called that last week before they were missing 20 players against Purdue.
Yep, and it's not a homer because we're in a pandemic, but it's a good prediction, very timely prediction. And you said the Timberwolves will not trade the number one overall pick. They did not.
Fans are going crazy. They love to see this.
I will say that we do have some controversy to get to at some point in this accountability session, all right, that a listener pointed out. We'll get to that.
Okay.
Jonathan Harrison, last year's reigning defending batting champion. He said the Wolves will include their number one pick in a trade with the Rockets for James Harden.
That would have been awesome.
Jonathan Harrison going Miguel Sano.
Would have been amazing.
That's a swing.
He said the Loons would win the Supporters Shield and MLS Cup. They're still alive for MLS Cup because they advanced to the second round of the playoffs, but the Supporters Shield is the best regular season record. They did not achieve that.
Why do we call it the Supporters Shield?
I am not sure why it's called the Supporters Shield.
The MLS logo is a shield, so maybe that's why. I don't know. That's my soccer banter for today.
I don't know is also an acceptable answer, as my wife would tell me.
I think a simple wrong would have done just fine, but yeah.
I do that all the time where my wife asks me a question, and I don't know the answer, but I try to like deduce it out loud. Well, it could be this, and she's like, you mean I don't know?
Wow. Yeah, she's a very smart lady. Yeah. Very smart lady.
And then Jonathan was correct on this. He said the Loons will finish with a home playoff spot, which they did, and they will win at least one of those games.
Nice. They did.
Now, he made that prediction, and like, it's a good parlay. It's not a home run.
Yeah.
It's not a home run. Manny said Daniel Oturu will be a lottery pick in the 2020 draft.
We did think that at one time, didn't we?
Yeah, we did.
And he said the Wolves will trade their own lottery pick this summer. They didn't have that either. Rami had nothing come off the board.
Declan.
Well, if I'm not going to catch Judd,
shouldn't root for other people to fail?
Yes, I should.
Cheer for yourself to do well.
I can root for both.
Declan's not going to be happy.
Sports Dad doesn't like this.
Declan's not going
to be happy.
Raise
you like this.
All right, I said the Wolves will make at least two picks between 1 and 16. I was basically saying they're going to trade up with their second pick. They traded it, but they traded back. I said the Wolves will trade the number one overall pick. And I said that Justin Jefferson would score at least three touchdowns against the Cowboys. I said that when he was drafted. I did hedge on the Wolves thing, though. I said that they will select Anthony Edwards number one overall. Take that. I'm sort of resigned to not competing for the batting title here in the last month, and so I'm going to shift my strategy to a different category over the rest of the year.
I know what you're going to do. Try to win the home run title, baby.
Listeners, Dan C. said the Gophers will win the national championship. I think we can put that one to bed for now. Justin in Rochester said Kirk Cousins will start fewer than 10 games this season. I think they've played 10 and he's all 10. Dominic said the Wolves will trade their first overall pick to assist Kat and D'Lo. Now, in here, I think it said their first round pick, but I believe the spirit of this was their first overall pick to assist Kat and D'Lo. Ryan said, now I think between Declan and I, we might have made a mistake in the notes because I copied this from the notes. I think it was supposed to be a parlay because it says the Wolves will re-sign Malik Beasley, and then it says grab stats in parentheses. I don't know what the second part of this was supposed to be, but he got the first part right. Yeah. So whatever, Ryan gets a point. If you have any recollection of what that was supposed to be, Dex. Otherwise, I think we just give him the point here because they did re-sign Malik Beasley.
Yeah, I don't remember why I would even put that, so I'm not sure. But
it's okay. Ryan, we'll give you a point for that one. And then Nick and Blaine stepped up to the plate.
Yeah.
And he said the Timberwolves will keep their first overall pick. They will draft Anthony Edwards, and they will trade the 17th pick.
Nice, Nick.
Circle the bases, Nick and Blaine.
Nick. Nice.
That's a home run for Nick and Blaine. I believe that's the third home run of the season for the listeners, which we'll get to in a second. Declan Goff, you said the Vikings will win their next three games. And then we get to the controversy.
Whoa.
And then we get to the controversy.
Yeah.
So I'm going to give you a backstory on this, okay? So Declan said, and I went back and listened, and this is exactly what you said. You said the Timberwolves will announce a trade tonight on draft day last Wednesday. And right after our podcast posted, I got a DM from listener Adam, and he said, I just listened to today's Write That Down session. Declan does not get a hit for his Wolves prediction if it happens. He said, and the wording is very important here, the Timberwolves will announce a trade tonight on draft day. None of the teams that made trades on draft night can be commented on or official until the new league year on Friday. Had he said the Wolves will make a proposed trade or a Woj bomb or Doogie report would lead to a trade. And so sure enough, the press release came out on Friday at 3:30 announcing a Wolves trade.
Okay.
The wording of your prediction was the Timberwolves will announce a trade tonight on draft day.
I'm going back and listening. That's BS. That's not what I said.
You didn't say that?
I did not say that.
I swear.
Phil said he went back and listened.
I went back and listened to it. And you said the Wolves will announce a trade tonight on draft day.
Counselor, I'm afraid that does not count.
Adam continues. He said,
love Adam.
Adam said the wording,
Adam, thank you.
The wording, unfortunately, cost Declan a hit, but that should be expected from a Write That Down rookie. You can take it to a vote next week, but I do believe in the spirit of Write That Down, Dex cannot get the hit.
Much like I didn't get the good question because I rambled with J-Will, Dex doesn't get the hit because he didn't do it right.
This is like when you watch.
This is a tough crowd.
This is like golf tournaments where like somebody will call in. I saw Dustin Johnson's ball move a quarter of an inch.
Adam's more dedicated to the show than we are.
So listen, if you want to, this is a democracy. If you want to go back, grab audio evidence for next week.
Okay.
We can replay this and then we can put it to a vote.
Okay.
All right.
Very upset.
So this is still, this can be appealed.
Well, I mean, it's just a wording thing. I've done the same thing. I've lost points.
Oh my gosh, I've lost countless. And so with that, Judd, you have a pretty big lead here in the batting average race. You're batting 420 with three home runs.
Feeling good at the plate.
Rami, 386 with one home run. Declan at 338 with one home run. I'm sitting at 283 with three home runs. Listeners, 216 with three home runs. Manny Hill, 188 with one home run. John Harrison, 179 with two home runs. So we have Judd at the top of the batting average race by 34 points, and three of us tied
with three home runs at the top of the home run category.
Write it down. You
I
like
know what
writing
you're
going to
try and win, Mackie.
Yeah, I think the batting average race ship has sailed for me, and so
go ahead, I'm done.
I've got one strategy the rest of the season, and it's bombs.
You've got bombs and bubblegum, and you're all out of bubblegum?
Right.
Yes. All right, let's get Sam in here. Sam, what's going on with you?
Not much. How are you guys doing?
Great.
Declan's mad.
Well, yeah, a dog there, too. I'm about to say, Sam, are you about to make some good predictions and or sabotage the producers' write-that-down predictions? Or what's
No, it's not Sam's fault, man. It was
no,
Adam.
I'm not
and
blaming
he's
Sam.
Oh, man. Let's see, man. Wisconsin won. Let me take care of the dog.
That's fine.
You hear a gunshot?
It's terrible. Oh, no.
What's up, Pooch?
What's the dog's name?
All right. So, yeah, I mean, COVID has really thrown a wrench into my predictions. I was going to do, of course, I'm a Wisconsin fan, and with the Battle of the Axe happening, naturally coming on to make three predictions. So my next idea was to do my next hometown, which is the Naval Academy, which is located here in Annapolis. Mm-hmm. And guess what? They're canceled because of COVID as well. So had to go back to the drawing board.
Now you're just going to make three predictions about your dog's weekend, basically.
Yeah, pretty much.
Dog's excited to be on.
So, yeah. What's the dog's name?
This is Minnie.
Hello, Minnie.
What's up, Minnie?
All right, Minnie.
Good pooch.
Minnie's like, okay, whatever.
We're going to get Minnie to make a prediction. So here's how it's going to work. We're going to go around the room three times. We'll start with Sam, Judd, Declan, back to Phil. And just in case the lesson hasn't been learned this season by all of us, wording and phrasing does matter in Write That Down. We can't prove intent. We can only prove phrasing.
Write it down. You like writing things down.
Law and order is what this is.
It is. And by the way, we would take feedback if you this is a committee of not just us, but listeners as well. So, Sam, we'll start with you. Make your first prediction.
Write this down.
All right. Write this down. Ricky Rubio will have an assist-to-turnover ratio higher than 3.5.
All right. So that could be like 9 assists per game and 2 turnovers or something like that.
Yeah.
3.5.
Write
this
down.
Yeah, 3.5.
Okay, got it.
Judd Zolgat.
The Vikings will win their next two games against Carolina and Jacksonville. So the Vikings will win Sunday against Carolina and the following week against Jacksonville.
I like your Ted Williams approach here with a solid lead in the batting average race. You're not pushing your predictions out to 2021. You're taking swings for this season.
Just wait for the next two.
Mm. Oh, okay.
All right.
I start to push them out after that.
Okay.
Write it down. You like writing things down.
All right, Declan.
All right, Teddy Bridgewater. I have to get a Teddy prediction here. Teddy will throw for 250 yards. He will have 2 touchdowns. And he will finish with a better passer rating than Kirk Cousins.
Okay.
Is that your what? Teddy Bridgewater throws for 250 yards. At least 250 yards.
Okay.
Is that what it was?
I don't know. Do we allow it? Do we allow it? Do we allow it?
I got it. I wasn't done making the prediction.
Write this down. I don't know.
Done making the prediction.
Like, should we tell him?
No.
At least is the key phrase there.
At least 250 yards. 2 touchdowns. There's better passing than Kirk Cousins.
For 250.
I didn't want to have to do it again.
Well.
All right. So
Adam would have done it.
At least. You're right?
At least.
Okay.
It's on verbal and in written form.
Okay.
So yes.
All right. When you said 250, Judd gave the look like, oh man, if he gets 251, you lose the prediction.
Yeah.
So,
okay. Okay.
Oh, God.
So, all right. Teddy Bridgewater.
Write this down.
All right. I'm swinging for the fences. So these are intended to be home runs. You guys tell me if they're not, and I will add to them. At some point before the end of the 2020 calendar year, Eddie Rosario will be non-tendered or traded by the Twins. And he will delete multiple Twins-related pictures from his Instagram account.
All right. Have we looked and seen what he has?
I took a screenshot of what he has just to prove that he has. Yep. So he has a ton of Twins pictures. And just to show you, like, this is just like the last 15 of them. It's all kinds of Twin stuff, right?
Okay. Like, so, yeah, nice.
Division champions and
so,
stuff.
Okay. So,
I don't know if he's going to be able to delete all of them. But I think he goes, if this happens, I don't think he's going to take it well. I think he'll go on a revenge tour.
Fair enough.
And you said his Instagram.
Just Instagram, yeah. So if he deletes stuff from his Twitter account only, then I'll take the L on this one.
Got it.
Write it down. You like writing things down.
All right, back to Sam.
All right, this weekend we got a big matchup in the EPL. My team, Tottenham Hotspur, will be facing Chelsea, and Tottenham is going to win.
You and Chris Long from Channel 5, big Tottenham Hotspur fans. Did you pick that team just randomly? How did you choose your random European soccer team, Sam?
It was just it was one of those, like, I think it was back in the day when Page 2 on ESPN was around, and they did, like, who should be your EPL team? And, like, Steve Nash is a big Tottenham fan, and it was just, like, if you like heartbreak and stuff like that, this is the team for you. So
Vikings.
Really, me and my friends from college all decided on Tottenham being our squad, and they still are.
That's like pretty funny. So basically, if you're a Viking fan looking for a similar experience, that Tottenham would be the...
Oh, write yeah, man. And ways to lose, yeah. So...
Judd Zolgad.
Sounds familiar. The Vikings will trade Danielle Hunter this offseason.
Ooh.
The Vikings will trade Danielle Hunter this offseason.
Quick teaser. Mm-hmm. We have a Danielle Hunter speculative trade discussion on Purple Daily today. So check that out today. A what-if scenario that a listener emailed to us. All right, back to Declan.
Write it down. You like writing things down.
Twins prediction. Nelson Cruz will not re-sign with the Twins. Is that on the board, by the way? I've said it out loud. I don't know if that's on the board from either of you.
I have him.
Maybe Judd.
I have him coming back, I believe,
got it. Okay.
From a few months ago.
Okay.
So yeah, I don't think I have any of those.
So I think you're fine.
You will not re-sign with the Twins.
Okay.
Nelson Cruz.
Write it down. You like writing things down.
Write that down.
All right, write this down. The Vikings will beat the Panthers by 10 points or more. Cousins will throw no interceptions, and both Justin Jefferson and Dalvin Cook will score at least one touchdown apiece in this game.
Yep.
Little three-item parlay.
That works.
Looking for home runs.
That works.
All right.
Try to take the lead.
That's a lot.
Write this down.
Back to Sam. Your final prediction, sir.
All right. Write this down. Harry Kane from Tottenham will have at least two goals on Sunday.
Ooh, I like it.
Nice match for Harry. Harry Kane was
nice little week for Harry Kane if that happens. So awesome. Sam, since you have this platform here in front of millions and millions or something like that, is there anyone in your life you'd like to thank that got you to this point?
I mean, last time I thanked you guys, that still holds true, but I'm going to thank my friends who I know are, well, at least one of them will listen. Well, shout out to Megan who will at least listen. And again, just thank you to you guys. It's one of those weird years and we're pushing through it.
Amen. Sam, thanks for coming on, man.
Thanks
for being a loyal listener. Appreciate it.
Thank you, guys.
All right. Sam taking his swings here.
Write it down. You like writing things down.
One more trip around for Judd.
The Gopher men's hockey team will play in the championship game of the Frozen Four this season.
Whoa.
The Gopher men's hockey team will play in the championship game of the Frozen Four this season.
And so they'll be playing for a national title.
They will be playing for a national title. Exactly right. I'm not going to assure you they're going to win it. But they look damn good, so I'll give them that. Okay. And plus, it pushes it into March.
Write it down. You like writing
April,
things down.
Actually. So there you go.
Wait, you're predicting that it's going to happen in April?
No, I'm saying it pushes the prediction down the road.
Be careful.
It pushes the prediction
People listen
down
to this show,
the road.
Sabotage you.
No. My prediction is done. My prediction's done. I'm just saying my last two predictions are into 2021, so they can't bite me for 2020.
Okay, so if the season gets pushed into 2022 and the Gophers play the national championship, okay, just want to make sure. Everyone's all like,
no. I said this season. No. It's this. If there is no Frozen Four this coming or in the season that we're in, then it's not right.
Okay,
write this down. Okay.
All right, Declan, your final prediction.
I have a wrestling prediction here. The following WWE championships will not change hands for the rest of the year in 2020.
Okay.
So the Universal title.
How many pay-per-views are left? One?
I think one. The Universal title, the WWE title, and both single women's championship titles. So that is Drew McIntyre, Roman Reigns, Sasha Banks,
okay,
and Asuka. All of them will hold their championships for the rest of 2020. They will not lose into January.
Okay.
Into January.
So they'll keep their titles into January.
Yes.
Okay.
I don't
write
know
this down.
Because it's only like 5 weeks left of the year and there was already a couple last major title changes. I don't think it's a home run, but I'll let you decide.
I would say if there were more than one pay-per-view, it could be considered a home run for sure. But because there's only one pay-per-view, it's a good ringing double or a triple.
Okay.
Something like that.
All right.
All right. Write this down. I'm still going for home runs here. I'm going to predict something precise. The Packers will go precisely 4-1 over their next five games, and their only loss will be to the Tennessee Titans.
Okay.
And I think that would be straight wins. It's like the Bears, Philly.
Oh, that's right, the Bears on Sunday night.
It's four games that they probably should win, and then it's Tennessee in like the second to last game of the season.
Okay.
So So Packers will go precisely 4-1 over the next five games, and they will beat Tennessee, or they will lose to Tennessee as the one loss.
Okay.
So there they go.
Write this down. Write it down. You like writing things down.
Are you? How mad are you at Adam specifically snitching
on like a 9. I am a 9 out of 10. I am very upset.
I would not have thought about this. I would have considered like the spirit of it if he had not DM'd with the.
I think you have to take a long, hard look in the mirror here. I mean, you predicted that a trade would be announced, and if you said announced, we know that NBA trades can't be announced on draft night.
Okay, and if that's the case,
I mean,
I've done it before.
I've done it, and I've been mad, and it's taken me weeks to get past it, but I finally get past it.
It is tough when this has happened. This has happened to me about 10 times in the history. I write that down. And it's a terrible feeling.
I was kicking myself with my J-Will question too long. I lost a point. I could have typed Phil. I had it. But you know what I did? I went back, looked at the tape. It was easily correctable.
I feel like you asked the great question. You made him think, and then you admired your question too long.
Oh, I bat flipped the question.
Yeah, you bat flipped.
Oh,
yeah.
I bat flipped it. There's no question. Well, it was so good that I will tell you I KBO'd it.
Yeah.
I totally bat flipped it. Yeah.
So those are Write That Down predictions and an accountability session. The only show in America that keeps track of our predictions with batting averages and home runs.
Write it down. You like writing things down.
We'll talk to our friend Patrick Roycey here in a second. All right, Patrick Roycey joins us every Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday. You can also find Roycey Unchained in podcast form and on scorenorth.com every Monday. So, Pat, the day before Thanksgiving is always one of our favorite shows on Mackie and Judd, because back in the old days, we would spend 4 hours trying to figure out who your turkey of the year is. And so we did spend some time. I guess my question is, what is the status of the turkey of the year column?
The status is we signed off last year, right? We're done. We put it away. But 2020 has been a very unusual year with a lot of strange stuff happening. So we'll just have to wait and see. That's basically what I would have to tell you.
So you're saying that the turkey of the year column is the Brett Favre equivalent. It's or the Undertaker just retired again for the 10th time this last weekend.
Vern Gagne is our role model. Vern has 6-7 championship returns. Let's put it this way. 2017, the turkey chairman received the award. And then the suggestion was that was it. It was over. Then 2018, we had my buddy Philip J. Black Jr. was 4-13 at Big Ten games at that point. And there was just really a strong urge to get him on the list, right, and to maybe inspire him to better things. So that came back as the authentic turkey. The TAT, right? It was the Authentic Turkey Award. 2019 official sign-off. There's been a lot, let's put it this way, there's been a lot of pressure on the founder, not the chairman anymore, because there's nothing to be chairman of, to bring it back in the year of the pandemic. So we'll have to find out, I guess.
So we were going through the potentials if the turkey of the year in its old incarnation did still exist, Patrick. Mm-hmm. And one we came up with was, what about the Twins and Rocco? And then Phil might have nailed it by saying, what, 20 years of Twins baseball playoff ineptitude when you lose 18 consecutive playoff games? I sort of like that one.
I think if there was a turkey to be had, losing 18 straight postseason games, which not only has not been done in North America, it's probably never been done in the universe, right? I mean,
right. We
could go to Mars and we couldn't find anything to the equivalent of this. So I would say that would be a strong contender. Yes, it would be.
Yeah.
That's a pretty good guess right there. Yeah, yeah. That would be a pretty good guess. But we'll just have to find out, I guess.
What was the other thing we were kicking
There's
around?
There's no
today.
Committee meeting now, by the way, because the committee disbanded after they
gave it to the chairman.
The committee can't hop on a Zoom?
They gave it to the chairman.
The 2017, the committee revolted and voted the chairman as Turkey of the Year, and everything disbanded.
Which was the ultimate nod to Sid, because that was, I think, your statement that Sid had won. At that point, he just won.
Yes, it had been the 40-year war was over. Sid won. Yes, it was right. Sid won. But hey, now I won because I outlived him. Even though he spotted me 25 years, I outlived him, and that was really the goal.
Well, what was the dark star thing where Sid tried to have the estate sale to rival Dark's because he was jealous, even though Dark was dead?
Yes, that was jealous of Dark's estate sale. Yes, that was unbelievable that Dark had the big estate sale at somewhere over on the other side of the river, right?
Yeah, I don't remember where it was.
Yeah, they had a big estate sale, and it did pretty good. And, of course, what Sid didn't know is that all the money Dark made on the estate sale basically went to people he owed money to. So it wasn't like it benefited the legacy of Dark or anything like that. But Sid was very jealous of that estate sale. Yes, it is. You know, I feel bad now that you bring it up, John, and all the stuff I wrote about him. I never sneaked in the fact that he was the kind of guy who would be jealous of somebody else's estate sale, which is pretty amazing.
And your line was what? Sid, he's dead. You won.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, he did win, Sid. You won. So, anyway.
Impatience, damn it. Got to have the estate sale before you die.
I get very sad about Dark at this time of year because he and his mom used to come over for Thanksgiving quite often and Christmas. So,
hey, Pat, the other thing we were kicking around Thanksgiving related, we're trying to figure out when the Wednesday before Thanksgiving, Drinksgiving as people call it now, when it became, and you've been sober for like four decades, going back to your day, when did Wednesday before Thanksgiving become the big drinking day?
I think in the 70s, for sure, the turkeys of the year started because of Drinksgiving. I had to have a Thursday column. I didn't want to go to a game on Wednesday night because I wanted to get out to Prior Lake and start drinking. And I'm driving in at 2 o'clock in the afternoon thinking, I got nothing. What am I going to do here? Write anything, and it occurred to me, Thanksgiving turkey. Okay, so it was just like a two-hour column that I just took some cheap shots at people, and that's where I called it the Turkey of the Year. That's where it all started, because of Drinksgiving. We used to do it at the bowling alley in Prior Lake that would start off with a kind of a late-night bowling game, and then the owners were very kind to us, so we'd stay there and shoot craps till like 5 o'clock in the morning and drive home right there at the legal limit, you know, right on the edge there. And that has something to do with the fact that I'm now married for the second time. That's that has something to do with that. Yes, it would. Drinksgiving was, boy, it was that was the worst night of the year. It was worse than anything in the summer. That was
Or the best night of the year.
Depending
how you wanted to see it.
Yes. You know what we needed to have open? They should have had an emergency opening of the Twins drinking room on Wednesday night before Thanksgiving. That would have been perfect.
Amazing.
That's great.
Yeah, it was a crazy evening, that's for sure. And the instigator of that this year is I'm kind of maudlin about 2020. I lost my brother this year, Michael at 80, and he was probably the leading bleep disturber of Drinksgiving out there when the crap shooting and the bowling and the pool playing and everything else occurred on that evening. Yes, it was a memorable time. If you could, you couldn't remember it the next day, but I can remember it back now.
Thursdays were rough.
Oh, they were.
Thursdays were. Was rough. That was tough.
Yeah.
That was not fun.
Are you going to miss the battle for the axe, Pat?
Yes, I think it was. you know, it's hard to miss anything that's not occurring this year, right? Because it's just such a screwed up year. But I think Judd might be suspicious the Gophers didn't want to play this game. I would have been suspicious they didn't want to play this game until I watched Wisconsin Saturday against Northwestern. You know, obviously they were a couple of 20-point favorite or something, but that I would have taken the points for sure. Because the freshman quarterback, I know Northwestern's got a good defense, but the freshman quarterback absolutely looked like a freshman. They turned it over five times. They were inept offensively, and they've missed. They're missing a lot of guys too. You know, their best two receivers aren't playing. They're missing a lot of guys too. So I don't, you know, I don't think that it was fear of the Badgers that caused the Gophers to pull the plug on this one.
Probably right. So I got a team, Gopher Hockey, Motzko's boys, Patrick. 4-0, they were really good.
Two pretty good teams, right? Penn State, I believe, is. Did they get beat again last
year? Yeah, they don't look that good. Yeah.
They're 0-4.
Ohio State's okay, but yeah, the Gophers look great.
Yeah, well, it didn't take him long. I think that he's the real deal. And I told you yesterday when I was talking to you, or Monday, he's not paranoid like all Gophers coaches. He knows that he's good. He knows that he knows what he's doing. He can coach him. When he gets him, he can make him better.
Mm-hmm.
And he can come up with a system. And he's, you know, he's really a good guy, Motzko. He's an easy guy to root for. And, you know, of course, Wooger was an easy guy to root for, too. And Lucia was tolerable. But, yeah, I think Motzko, they got the right guy, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm. So what's are you guys cooking tomorrow, or what's your plan? Are you supporting a spread at the local restaurant, or what are you doing?
Tim Murray has done a fine job of preparing. I got to pick it up at 5 this afternoon, and you just warm it up, I guess.
Nice.
Anybody who wants to come over can come over. I'll feed you out on the steps. You can eat out there. You know?
There you go, Dex.
Put out a picnic table or some damn thing. It's
bring a tent.
Everybody. I mean, this is my level of paranoia about the COVID wasn't ever that high until like the last. I know, and Declan went through it, and everybody. But the last, what's going on right now is makes you wonder about mingling with too many people. Mm-hmm. So it's. I don't know what it's going up by the tens of thousands every day. So it's weird, man.
Yep.
I want to be able to see it, man. I want to be able to see it.
See it floating through the air, like spritz it? Put a little spritzer?
Come up with a spray that we can spray in the air to see if it's.
What, are you going
to
dodge it?
I actually don't want to see that. That would be terrible.
Dodge
break it up
hands.
Here a little bit. You okay?
Yeah. Well, we got to run anyways, Pat. So we'll talk.
Okay.
You have
Happy
a great Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving,
see you
Pat.
Later.
All right. See you, Pat.
Bye.
So the Turkey of the Year column might still sort of exist.
Classic
is what he's saying.
Classic.
Drinksgiving going back to the 70s, and here I thought I was damn near a founding father.
Yeah, it had been around for two or three decades before.
I mean, I started 90s.
Yeah, I think. I think
around the age of 20.
I think that story about Pat starting the Turkey of the Year column.
I've heard that
because
one, yeah.
He just wanted to just get something filed so we can go get smoked on a Wednesday night. That's a great story. So, well, that's a wrap on this episode. We have for Thursday for Thanksgiving, we did dig up an old episode. This is Teddy Bridgewater week. The Vikings are set to unless he's still hurt, I think he's on track to play this weekend. But even if he's not, the Vikings are going to see Teddy Bridgewater in some capacity. And we tracked down the Mackie and Judd episode the day after the Vikings drafted Teddy Bridgewater and our full reaction to it and all kinds of – you'll hear other old bits and stuff that we did. So it's worth a listen on the Mackie and Judd podcast feed on Thanksgiving. And don't forget, Purple Daily is still rocking every single day this week, so check those episodes out. And we'll see you guys later.